This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rolls Oconee Historical Society. I've been reading from G. Arnold Grefthen's book, The Land of Howling Wolves, for the past 2 weeks, as he tells what he remembers about the logging business in the 1920s. He and a friend were in Duluth looking for good-paying work as tie makers. I'll continue reading his story today. Our second day in Duluth was spent in visiting the employment offices again. There were a few tie maker jobs on the boards this time. However, when we inquired about them, we were told this camp only wants experienced tie makers, and you boys are too young to have had much experience, if any. We can ship you out to camps wanting pulp cutters and monthly workers. How are we going to get to be experienced tie makers if we couldn't get a job at a tie maker camp? The afternoon was spent in revisiting all the employment offices again, as signs offering new jobs at widely separated camps were continually coming up and old signs taken down. Shortly before supper time, as we were again examining employment offers, an agent came out on the sidewalk and said to us boys, "Do you want to ship out to a tie camp in Wisconsin? This is a big logging company, and at the present, are short of tie makers in their smaller tie camps. The piece rate price is as follows: hemlock ties 15 cents, tamarack ties 20 cents each, and birch ties 25 cents each. We told the agent we would like very much to go, but that other agents had refused to ship us due to our youth and lack of experience, so we felt a little bit apprehensive about taking the job. The agent replied, "If you boys really mean you want to learn tie making, this is your chance. This is a good company and they understand a young fellow's problems and are willing and able to help you get started. However, the job will cost you $2 apiece. This will be refunded to you by the company if you stay until breakup. I hope to have enough men signed up to fill the quota by tomorrow night. The men who have signed up will leave by train at about 10 p.m. from the railroad station. You will get to Owen, Wisconsin shortly after midnight, get off the train there, and be met by a man who will take you to the Owen Hotel, where you will spend the night. In the morning, you'll be given breakfast, and about the middle of the forenoon, we'll board the logging train, which will take you to Jump River, and then to Camp Number 15, which is headquarters camp. The superintendent will interview and send you boys on to one of the smaller camps where your work will begin. There will be no charge for railroad fare or for staying at the Owen Hotel, and meals would be free until you start working." This sounded good to us, so we paid our $2 and signed up to go tie making at Jump River, Wisconsin, on tomorrow night's train. One passenger coach was reserved for timber workers bound for Jump River, Wisconsin. My young tie-making partner and myself, feeling very proud and important that we were at last going to be tie-makers and make big money. As the train sped eastwards through the night, there was much jovial conversation and joking back and forth between the lumberjacks. About 1 a.m. in the morning, the conductor passed through our coach and announced in a loud voice, "Owen, Wisconsin, next stop. All you lumberjacks, get off there." In a few minutes, the train stopped at Owen Station. Waiting for us on the station platform was a man with a flashlight, who counted all the lumberjacks as they disembarked, then announced to the conductor, "The head count tallies, they are all here." The train started moving off, and the man with the flashlight called out loudly so all could hear, "You men follow me and we'll find beds for you." After a good night's sleep and a hearty breakfast in the hotel dining room, we were informed that the logging train would leave Owen about 11 a.m. and would arrive at headquarters camp number 15 in time to have our noon meal there. Then we would be interviewed by the logging superintendent and sent to whatever camps needed our particular kind of timber work experience. Leaving Owen at the appointed time aboard the slow-moving, jolting logging train was an interesting experience. The scenery was a mixture of huge piles of logs on landings, as well as neat piles of railroad ties and other forest product landings. We saw several white-tailed deer and an occasional jobber's camp. We soon arrived at the busy little town of Jump River, where our train stopped for a few minutes, then started again on its way to Camp Number 15. On arrival at headquarters, everyone entered a large tar paper covered building in which were several benches and a large table. This was a sort of briefing room. Even the train crew entered this briefing room to get further orders as to what loaded cars of timber products were to be taken on the return trip to Owen. We were greeted by a tall, pleasant man in his late 40s or early 50s. He was the general superintendent of the large logging camp company we were now going to work for. The superintendent interviewed and assigned the men to different camps and jobs. As it turned out, my partner and I were the last to be approached and interviewed. "Well, boys," he said, "and what sort of job did you ship out for?" "We need cookies, swampers, and pulp cutters in just about every camp we have." My partner spoke up and said, "We shipped out to make ties." A fleeting smile crossed the superintendent's face as he said, "Well, a fella has to start sometime, doesn't he, to get into the bigger paying jobs. I'll tell you what we'll do for you boys. My son is running a tie cutters camp at Camp Number 12, a few miles east of here, along the railroad track. He is doing the checking and scaling there and is probably a couple of years older than you boys are, so you should get along well together. I'll write a note that you can give him when you get there, and he will put you to work in the morning hewing ties. If you start out walking now, you will easily make it to Camp Number 12 before supper time." So saying, he wrote a note, sealed it in an envelope, and said, "Give this to Walt, my son, as soon as you get to Camp Number 12. I'll continue reading Mr. Grefton's story about his logging camp days next week. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.